Let's bring our April 22nd meeting of the Westland Public Safety Advisory Board into session. We have some people here that are guests and new participants. I'll start off. I'm Tom Friedland. I'm the chair of the board. To my left is a guest by the name of...
I'm Davey Montgomery. I live on Wildwood Drive.
Stephen Meyer, Tualatin Valley Fire and Rescue.
Chris Duncan, board member, scribe. Judy Wickman, board member.
Amy Smith, new board member.
Peter Wood from the Western Police Department.
Okay. We have last month's minutes to review and approve. Are there any corrections, modifications, changes, misspellings? Follow up on that. If there is no changes or modifications, may I entertain a motion to approve? Or are you still reading?
Still reading.
Okay.
Sorry.
That's fine. Is there a motion to approve?
I move to approve.
Second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. So much for the minutes, the agenda. Oh, we didn't do the agenda. I'm sorry. Are there any changes to the agenda?
Just what could... Dee Dee, usually comments are toward the end.
Yeah.
Are you on a tight schedule?
We'll move her up.
If you can move me up, I'll keep it brief.
That's fine.
I just would love that.
It's not like it's carved in stone.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Any other changes or?
Mm-hmm. It looks straightforward.
Okay. We have a guest who has some information they'd like to present to us, and so I will give it to you, Dee Dee.
So I'll try to keep it into 2 minutes, because that's important.
I don't know.
Some of you know I'm married to Russ Axelrod, so just in case you wanted to know that I was married to the mayor, it has nothing to do with what I'm saying, but I would say that. But I am, just in background, you might be interested, I'm a certified industrial hygienist, and I've worked in kind of workplaces around safety, health, and well-being for 30-some years, hazardous materials training, respirator training, all that stuff. But and more recently, I work at OHSU and we do research on workplace safety, health, and well-being. And so what I do know is that the healthier we are, the safer we are, and our higher levels of well-being, which means we're better citizens and we're better engaging with everything. I mean, research really shows that, and it's really underlying part of what I want to talk about, which is really about traffic, pedestrian safety in this town. And I think that what we do know, and it's true for pets or bikes, and I think it's true for both, but people will do healthier behaviors when they feel safer doing. But we know that. That's why we see that with the way communities are trying to plan things and workplaces are trying to plan things. And it's challenging. Every city, every community in this country is dealing with, you know, traffic safety issues. We have so many cars on the road. Now we have apps where people cut through our town, right? And they don't even really know where they're going, and they may or may not care what the speed limits are. So I know we're in a city like here, you know, Westland, we're really trying with, you know, new crosswalks and, you know, making sure they're ADA. We have eventually Highway 43s. I'm one of those that has to cross 43 in the morning to catch a bus or my bike, and it's about the scariest thing I do all day, you know, and I don't take chances, so I miss buses. because I can't get her across. So I know we're looking at things to deal with that. And I know there's some new funding maybe coming through with that new tax if it passes, right? I wrote down what that was. Some of you know that better than I. So that may provide more funding through the vehicle registration fees that might strengthen that. So that's awesome. And that's a really important thing. But beyond that, I think that there are other things we really need to consider. And I think that looking for ways to create really at the grassroots level where citizens actually care and they're not just going to go on to Hidden Spring, our next door neighbor, and Facebook, which is what's happening right now. I was going to take the time and count how many times people get on there and talk about how they almost got hit in the crosswalk or whatever, right? Their kid, they're worried about their kid crossing. So my suggestion to the city, and I know that you can put it on to the traffic safety advisory, I've written this up, but I really would love to see, I've lived here 28 years, and I don't think I've ever seen the city of West Lynn take on as a community and support, you know, all of the different elements that would take on safety in our roads, and it would be three prongs. It would be information for pedestrians, like wearing, like make sure you're visible at night, right? We all see that. Mm-hmm. And other things like that. Bikers, the same thing, follow the rules of the road. But it would be, you know, look, that they're really the three things for drivers. Stop for pedestrians, obey the speed limit, and don't be distracted. And we repeat this over and over, and we tell kids, and I'm really active with young worker safety, too, so I get that from a behavior standpoint. But I was just really imagining, what if there really was a 10-prong piece? Most people want to be safe, and most people want to have safe places, and they need to be reminded. And enforcement's important, but you guys can't be at every crosswalk. How many times have we all almost got hit on crosswalks? Not to mention the other places we don't have crosswalks. So that's really, I love things of some brainstorming where there's the Elks and there's some materials out there, and every group is advocating within their members to get the message out. It can be neighborhood associations, it can be the Elks and the Rotary, it can be the training that goes to young, you know, the kids going through driver's ed, and they need to know that we almost had two residents died a couple years ago, right? Because they got nailed at Walling Circle in a crosswalk. And so that's my suggestion, and then a little piece of that is looking for innovative ideas. 2 years ago, I talked to Neil Henley about those crossing flags, and there was a conversation about trying them at one of our that really deadly intersection across from Starbucks, and the crosswalk that people do still drive through. You know, the crossing flags have been really successful in several communities, so I listed that too. So I probably didn't keep it to 2 minutes because I got excited. But I just think, you know, we do keep doing certain things, and we can't expect funds are going to take care of everything. And I think that we have a great community, and yet we have not brought a lot of different, we haven't created messaging that can go to all the different groups in a sustained manner and bring it to our, you know, the great open house you guys do, right? And at the fair, and just keep repeating so neighbors keep each other, you know? We hold each other accountable and our kids accountable because it's 25 on a lot of these streets, right? And how many people are driving 25? I do, and you guys do, but I mean a lot of people don't. So thank you so much. So I've written these comments. I have two copies. I can email them to someone. I added a couple of other things in there.
For the record.
Yes, for the record. And, obviously I am passionate about it, and I can go on a long time, but I think we have to make a difference because we can't rely on certain things to do it for us.
I will tell you that the number one complaint to the police department is, in fact, traffic-related stuff. And speeding through different neighborhoods and stuff. I would tell you that a majority of the people we cite are in fact residents of those neighborhoods,
yeah.
Which stirs up a whole different conversation in people complaining. But I also will tell you that when we set up the city public works will set up their trigger that tells you what the speed is. and then we'll send people up there with radar guns and stuff like that. And then if it gets bad enough, they'll do a traffic safety survey. And up in the 80 percentile, people are driving within about 6 miles of the speed limit. So when it's 25, you're getting up to about 31. It's that range. But really, we don't really cite people at that range, right? Because that's not getting crazy. It's at 31 and 25. But majority of people are saying, hey, people are blasting through here, right? We set up the truck, we do radar missions, we do all these things, and we're just not seeing it to that level. I'm not saying that people aren't, you know, we have the Adam Swamel, somebody who's saying it was going, you know, up in the 70s, but never. Whoa. Well, the first day we did the deal was coming down to Swamel, 75. We got.
Whoa.
So, Swamel, right? So it does happen, it just doesn't happen.
Right.
As often as people think it happens. People are like, see that car right there. Well, we'll have them sitting in the car with the police officer with the radar gun. And we'll run radar in the neighborhood for a while, right? It's just one of those community outreach deals. And they're like, how fast? That guy's speeding, 4 over. That guy's speeding, 2 over. And they're just not, when they realize how what that looks like, that's not really, they're not really the menace that they're being out to be. But we Traffic Safety Advisory Board is, I'm not sure where the next meeting is, but we should probably bring it up there too. Yeah, if you're willing to come and speak at that one too, get on the agenda. I don't know who creates that agenda.
Yeah, it's the end of May. I think I might be out of town, but I'll double check that.
Yeah. Oh. You guys going to fight over who talks for that?
Go ahead. You're scribing. Well, I think one of the things that I have really, really kind of been homing in on too, because we've had so much rain and darkness this spring even, is the visibility piece. I think this is another opportunity for private-public, you know, partnerships when there are fairs, is swag to put on the jackets and to put on clothes to be more visible. Sometimes even the one they've got on the jacket is in the wrong place. So you don't see, they might have something here, but it's not where the street, where the car is going by, or it's not as you're coming up on them. You know, and so that is something that I would really love to see more readily available, is just stuff to put on. Close.
Chris, if you don't mind me tagging on real quick, TriNet actually does a really good Be Safe, Be Seen campaign, and they provide free swag. So that'd be a really good. They usually do it around Halloween, as like the summer's waning and it's getting darker earlier in the day.
That's cool.
I think I just add to that. I think the other thing that's unique about where we live is think about the curviness of all of our roads, right? I mean, you could be going 5 over. On that curve, you know, and someone could be crossing, you know, I just do think we're different than, you know, a state that is just Kansas. You know, I do think between that and the visibility, I think that adds another, you know.
Well, I have a question for you, actually. If, like, I live off of Old River Drive, and when you're heading north toward George Rogers Park, there's a very sharp hairpin turn there, and people are coming down the hill, and if they aren't going under 25, and you aren't all the way over in your lane, you could, you know, clip bumpers. It's so tight there. Mm-hmm. And then there's pedestrians coming through the park that are walking, hopefully not across the street there, because it's blind on both sides. But if there were a sign on both sides saying, slow to 10 miles an hour, sharp corner or something, who's responsible for getting those signs put out?
Public Works are the ones that decide that. Where signs are placed is actually regulated by the state of Oregon. So, like, you know, how high they are, how big they are, what they say, those are regulated by the state. So there's only a certain kind of sign that Weston can install. But they're the ones who decide whether or not we're going to put the flashing crosser ones, or we're going to do, I can't think of some other ones. If you want to change a crosswalk to a blinking one, they got to do this whole survey, and they got it all worked out. I've learned more about sign installation and cost than I ever want to know. One of these traffic safety advisory board meetings, because it's so technical. And they just can't put up a speed sign every time somebody wants one.
Right.
Nor can they put up a flashing those yellow flashing crosswalks, those are fantastic. You see those from a mile away.
Those are great.
But, you know, your whole city would be nothing but those things, right? And they're very expensive to put in, I found out. And so safety-wise, they would be tops for everybody. But yeah, Public Works is the one who decides where to put them and if where they're going to put them. Traffic Safety Advisory Board is where you would come to pitch your case, get on the agenda ahead of time. You write a little application as to what it is. They tell you where the meeting is. They invite you to come and present. And then you get to put your 2 cents in, and then he either tells you, we'll look into it, or yes or no.
Well, I like your multi-pronged approach of looking at all the other service support organizations like Lions and all that. And it got my mind going because I have some friends in those organizations. And if everybody's kind of working together, it's going to spread a lot faster. It's amazing.
It's kind of the whole, I mean, what we see in workplaces, which is, you know, the top-down leadership, you know, they need to be committed to what you're doing, but you can't rely fully on, you know, I won't use the mayor as an example. Bad example. The city manager, you know, telling everybody what to do, right? I mean, that's important, but you have to have everyone engaged. And the only way we can do that is we each have each of our elements. And, you know, we have neighborhood associations that, well, they're not necessarily well attended in every neighborhood, but they are looking for content, right? And so, I mean, okay, so thank you.
No, I
appreciate that. So maybe you and I could brainstorm more if you ever.
Well, I imagine the traffic safety advisory board would be really good.
Because
I personally, I'm not exactly a shy retiring person, and I live off of Old River, and there's places where it's pitch black, and kids. I've seen people in their 20s walking a black dog wearing all black with no reflectors whatsoever, and you can't see them until you're 2 feet away from them. Even if you are going to speed limit, it's really dangerous. And I've actually rolled down the window and said, you might consider reflective gear. I couldn't see you. And they go, oh, I hadn't thought of that. I mean, like, really?
There's some really great educational stuff because, you know, people think about what it's like when you're driving and you see someone who has no light. But when you're out there, you think everyone sees you. Like you see them.
Yeah.
And there's actually, I think it's eye opening. I mean, you'd think people would figure it out if they're like, have been around for a while, but anyway. I will go to that next meeting, but thank you for.
I admire your enthusiasm. It's great.
Well, and I don't necessarily have a lot of extra time either, but I really do care about this, so I would be.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Tom.
Chris?
Well, just one other, we do seem to see in the order of sometimes specific, sometimes broad issues come up this way, and it might be worth somewhere down the pike having a joint meeting with the traffic safety to kind of carve out our areas so we don't ping pong people back and forth to different groups.
I was thinking,
we focus on teen driving safety. Is that really more traffic?
We only have so much time, period, that we can divide between.
Right.
We focus in on those topics that are manageable from that standpoint. It could expand. What I'm thinking is that from Dee Dee's letter, maybe there's some points that we can pull from that and create maybe a list or start something where we do have that meeting, sharing it, but have the material, outlined as to what overlap there is, and so that we're at least prepared for it, not simply say, hey, we need to meet, we need to talk about
things. This is a good starting point to say, because these are for instances, and then we've had people come, wanting the, we had that
curb
meeting step about the traffic calming, and then what that does in relation to the safety of getting an ambulance, over the road too, where these things.
That's the thing.
Traffic safety? Is that public safety?
If we are serving as a portal of entry for information, as we seem to be, and I'm sure other boards are in the same situation, maybe we can tailor things down to a point where we can channel those issues to them, they have something that might fall into our bailiwick a little more effectively, and that might be the way to do it is, draft something that can be easily shared with the other boards.
Yeah. I have one last question. I don't know who to address it to. Are safety issues on 43 responsibilities of the state because it is a state highway? Like, for instance, there's a desperate need for a pedestrian light on the corner of 43 right in front of Walmart where the bus stop is.
It's that would pitch be black. That'd be a power plant. I mean, if it's in the city of West Bend, it could be ours. And that'd be a Lance Calvert question with Public Works. And be like, is this going to be us or is this going to be state?
Okay.
So since ODOT owns the road,
right?
It does get.
That crosswalk is pitch black on a rainy night, and people get off the bus, and people coming down the hill on a green light, they just don't even look.
And that's another one with lights. I've gotten off that bus, and I've talked to people at that corner saying, you realize you're walking across in the dark?
You're able to see that?
No. I mean, they're not hearing lights. And so that's another education piece, right?
Yeah.
And they're going to get mad at someone who's coming, and truly someone turning left should be looking, especially if the bus is there. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you just can't plan on that.
What's the flag thing you were talking about on the highway?
They do it in, you know where it's most, if you've ever gone to downtown,
Sisters
does it, but also Salt Lake City. And there's some places outside of Seattle. So basically, it's this idea that when you're ready to cross the crosswalk, you wouldn't want it at every crosswalk, but think about like the one that's across from Bank of America in Cascade Summit, where we have older people and kids crossing there, and there are people that go fast and run through it. So you take a flag from one side, and you hold it when you're walking across, and you put it back
on the bucket on the other
side. And, you know, sometimes the issues have come up, well, people are going to steal them. Okay, mm-hmm. Fine. They can be cheap. You could try it. You know, you pilot it. And so that's what I 2 years ago, I brought it up to Neil, and he did some checking into it, and I sent him a bunch of information, and I don't know whatever happened.
It's an interesting idea.
No, it really is.
Okay.
I've stopped for some.
Well,
it's simple. It's cool.
Take a look and delve into
Thanks
it.
Thanks for listening.
Well, thank you.
In the midst of that, we had at least two people sneak in. And since we've already had introductions, can we ask you to identify yourself and introduce you to the group?
Yes, I'm Caroline Jones. I attended your last meeting.
Yes.
And I live in Glenmorey, which is like Oswego. I'm interested in setting up a group similar to this.
Okay. All right. And then
Michael McGraw, board member.
Put him down as tardy. Did you bring a note?
I did show up to the police headquarters, and then I didn't even pull into the parking lot before. I was like, oh, no.
We've all done it.
It's okay. We'll give you an excuse tonight.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye, baby.
Okay. Back to old business. Anything on disaster preparedness, your neighborhood, or any other associated topic in that
area? Yeah, I finally got a hold of the Boy Scout. I had no idea how fragmented they are. They are not a cohesive thing. They have a national thing that they abide by, but they make their own decisions. So this emergency backpack thing I was looking into that was at the Lake Oswego Emergency Fair at one of ours, red backpack for $50 to $70, depending on when you catch them, 72-hour survival. People want it, and apparently only this one group in West Lynn sold it, and the regional manager of Cascade Region said, no, we have two other fundraisers, and that's not something we're focusing on, and we don't have the time or the money to focus on that. They apparently just decided to do it themselves, bought it at a discount and offered it, and I said, I've been trying to get people to buy from the Boy Scouts versus Amazon because I think it's, you know, productive. Mm-hmm. And they said, thanks for the thought, but we have nothing to do with it. He said, just send them to Amazon. So I did a little more research, and I found ones that I'm going to probably write up and send to the board so you've got a copy of it, and then have it available for when I do the Map Your Neighborhood meetings. Some of the packs, where to get them, how much they cost, and how effective they are, how many days they are, and if they're for one or two people, and so that people can say, oh, I can go to multiple places.
I was just going to say, as long as we have more than one choice.
Like REI and Walmart, and the best one was Overstock.com, I couldn't believe it. Okay. So, that's what I was looking into, and then I also wanted to know if we are going to have, is it pronounced Elisa or Eliza Schroeder, the Courtney's replacement in City Hall?
I'm sorry.
She's the replacement for Courtney, apparently.
Okay.
And I wondered if it's okay to invite her to one of our meetings, because
We used to work closely with Courtney on the emergency fairs and stuff, and I think she ought to know what we're doing and who we are.
I didn't know the name until you said it, but you're certainly welcome. You know.
Could I invite her?
Yeah.
On behalf? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, because I think that would be kind of cool.
If you get a confirmation on a date, let me know so I can put it into the agenda.
Sure.
And be aware that our May meeting is going to be a week early because of the holiday. We'll talk about that before we end. But, unless somebody wants to change it somewhere else. But you know, just be cognizant of the potential dates. And with summer approaching, you know, we're maybe not going to have the best of attendance.
Yeah.
Which is typical during summer. But
Any other... Yeah, that I can't seem to get a hold of it. I haven't continued to try. Somebody down in Irvine, California, I said I would take on calling them because they have sort of a model of emergency preparedness. I'm still going to work on that, so I'll keep that. And the fourth thing was I still have a bunch of families that really want to do the meetings, and they have captains. They just are trying desperately to find dates where they can get more than half the people to attend these things. So they're all just sort of waiting in the wings and, you know, can't push them, but you can encourage them.
As far as Irvine goes, I'll check with my brother and see if he has a contact
that'd be
with
great.
The department. He's still there. I mean, he's still deals with them, but
fantastic.
I didn't think in terms of checking on that. I know he's with his daughters in Reno for the holiday. I don't know when he's coming back. So
okay, thank you.
Remind me.
Write it down.
I write it down. I'll forget.
That's all I have.
It's been one of those months where I can't get anything to stay there very long. Team safety, you know. I didn't get a chance to do anything on that. It's been a very crazy month for me. I am going to try and follow up with our two that did attend it and with Karen McCoy, our contact with Tire Rack, the Street Survival Program, to make sure that they did show and I'd like to at least get some feedback as to how they enjoyed it. I've had... Just in the last week, I've had to be out of town on three or four different occasions. Some of it last minute. I got pulled in as to a court case in Fresno as an expert witness with about 6 hours' notice. There was speculation I was going to be needed, but I didn't know until the day I needed to leave to go down there. So I went from my office straight to the airport, and I didn't come back for 2 days. So it's been a little crazy, and so as a result, I haven't followed up. I was barely able to remember to do the agenda. 2 week out came in. It's like, oh crud! I got to get that to Tony. So I will follow up on that and hopefully have something for us next month.
Okay.
Still back to the same thing. We have the suggestion of the new city administrator for our activities. I knew you gave me the name and I forgot it already.
It's, if it's pronounced right, it's Elisa Schroyer, S-C-H-R-O-Y-E-R.
S-C-H-O-Y-E-R?
S-C-H-R-O-Y-E-R.
Okay.
I don't know what the exact title is, but I call her the new Courtney, so
okay.
I guess I better find out the title.
Yeah.
It'd be nice.
Certainly be good for one segment of the meeting. Are there some other areas that we're now getting a little more interest in or that we can narrow down a little bit? We've been talking in terms of supplies for disaster preparedness. Maybe we can, approach a couple of vendors that might be able to give some information on that or some ideas on how something could be pieced together. I don't know. I'm looking, what we can do to more than just us talking about disaster preparedness,
really,
street survival.
It's really challenging because people have the good intentions, just like, you floss your teeth, you pay your taxes, they have good intentions. But it's like getting people, in the case of like Map Your Neighborhood, to just put a stake in the ground and say, yes, I will host it, I will commit to it within the next 2 months, I'll find a date. There's very few people that are like that. Didi was one of them.
Yeah.
But I don't know. There's so many people who want to know about how their teens can drive safer, how they can be prepared for disasters. They just don't
know about it. Well, I mean, we've had, last year we had, you know, FirstNet come in, give us a little spiel on that. We've had the DRE orientation here earlier this year. Is there something within what the department is doing in general that we might want to get a little bit more specific information on? I don't know.
I have just a general question. If you just catch me up on this, so you're looking for maybe to host like a class or something to teach people how to be prepared, or to offer a supplier where they can purchase?
Well,
or
I'm just purely information. Well, what we do as part of the board is a program called Map Your Neighborhood,
okay.
Where and I'll make this very brief. We can talk afterward if you want to. We go. A host will say, okay, I'll open my doors, put some chairs together, and put the coffee pot on. And they will invite 10 to 15 of the neighbors that are contiguous, not across town, but all right next to each other, that they would all be relying on each other after a disaster because the first responders would be so busy with the bigger, higher level stuff.
Okay.
And we go through an hour to an hour and a half meeting, and there's a program that we go through in a workbook. And at the end of that time, they have all identified who has what skills, who owns what equipment, like chainsaws or ladders or whatever, who is good at triage if there's a retired, you know, nurse or somebody who might set broken bones, that kind of thing. And then they have a game plan of what to do immediately following a disaster in their own home. Then they go and have an agreed upon meeting place, maybe somebody's garage or the old fire station down the street on Robinwood. And at that time, they all set out to check gas lines, to check elderly that might be by themselves, children that might be alone. And
essentially
then,
how to stay self-sufficient for a week,
for
2 weeks, or whoever knows.
And then we do suggestions on what kind of food and water supplies and toilet supplies and all of these things, and then point them to fabulous websites like Twelve Valley Fire and Rescue is a wonderful website for this, redcross.org, FEMA.gov, things like that. So that's a lot of what I am involved in. But as far as, you know, I don't do the team driving safety. There's a coursework thing for that. But as far as the vendors go, were you talking about four particular occasions?
No, I'm trying to think of something that, you know, to add to our meetings, you know, a little bit more informative about things that are allied to local public safety. And, you know, understanding, you know, FirstNet, the concept of how agencies would be able to communicate in routine versus even disaster situations with the overlay, the priority, which is what's coming out of FirstNet. Understanding, you know, what goes on in the process of identifying individuals under the influence of drugs through the DRE program was very helpful to us as a group. Maybe there's some other aspect of something that's unique in terms of what the department is doing that, you know, we've had the mental health material on it, so better serve as a liaison for us to serve both the community and the department. And so, or fire, not to exclude you, and we've had some information on that. We had the meeting at the fire station down in the Willamette area for water rescue. Better appreciation for that, the equipment that was there. It makes our meetings a little more entertaining and gives us a, you know, reason than just sitting here and bouncing ideas back and forth that don't produce anything. And I don't know. I can think of maybe some things that might be of interest to me. I don't know how they would play out with the rest of our board, and I'm trying to see what aspects of public safety pique your interests so we can maybe find something to you know, share or expand on so that we are better able to do what we're supposed to do.
One thing I keep thinking of is it's great that we, you know, have these programs and stuff. And I know that, like, in newsletters, TVFNR put out, you know, like, little pieces of information about, you know, safety and all levels. And we've got the emergency fair and the old-fashioned fair and stuff like that. And I know that in the newsletter, like, you know, the city newsletter online and even the water bill, the mayor will put something in about now's the time. You know, think about those fires in California last year. Think about our gorge fires. Think about, you know, potential earthquake. earthquakes, and we're focused on this, this, and this. But I keep thinking on a more granular level, maybe if somebody is more sophisticated than I am, because I've never used Nextdoor, mm-hmm. but if maybe you guys know how to use Nextdoor, maybe that's a vehicle for getting more citizens of West Lynn aware of safety and where to contact us to get help, as opposed to just hoping they read their water bill.
Right.
Does this board have a Facebook page? Can we have a Facebook page?
I can't hear. She's
asking if we have a Facebook page.
We do not have one specifically as the Public Safety Board because of some city government restrictions that would be placed on that. It has to be managed, essentially has to be managed by the city.
Okay.
We could, you know, give information to whoever's managing it for the city to be placed on that and disseminated. We haven't done much of that lately because there's been a lot of administrative change. You know, Courtney was sort of our conduit for that information, and we're still now trying to reestablish that and get that communication flowing. And that it's a great idea then to bring Eliza in to at least put that face in and make it no longer Courtney's replacement. This is the new person. And so that's, you know, what I'm trying to see is, are there some topics, are there some things, you know, I'm coming to social media, I'm useless. I have no idea. I do have an input on Facebook that came up a number of years ago because we were getting ready for as a family to celebrate somebody's 90th birthday, and that became a point of communication. But the only thing I ever put on there is something in response to somebody's funeral. I personally try and avoid putting anything on it because there can be so much political overtones, that there can be fallback to you from a personal post to your business, or your employment in general. We've seen, you know, concerns about that. So I don't even know really what's out there in terms of...
Well, that's why I was asking if you two know anything about how to use Nextdoor, because I don't do social media by choice. I used to be in the computer industry, and I choose not to be on social media. But if that's something that you could poke around and say, you know, like maybe if you could, an assignment for you guys might be just start looking and seeing if you're seeing anything about emergency preparedness, disaster preparedness, earthquake preparedness, any little flags out there that you can, talk about.
Something, or an idea in terms of potential content to push in and drive that.
Well,
because I do know enough that it's constantly changing, that you do need to put things of interest in there to drive people to look and follow up on
right.
issues of it.
Just an idea.
Beyond that, I, you know.
What are you going to say?
I was going to say, I don't actually have a Facebook, and my phone is a dumb phone, and so I'm probably the wrong person to ask for this.
Okay. You don't have a laptop or anything?
I do have a laptop. Is Nextdoor desktop app, too?
Yeah, it will actually. Yeah. How do you guys describe it? Chris can describe it better than I can.
Yeah.
Because I have an account. I just want to get rid of my smartphone.
I'm a subscriber, you know, but I just condense it down to the one day digest and I'll quick look at the topics of the area. You know, I don't get into long screens.
And actually, you're describing one of the problems that we are facing is what mode do we use?
Exactly.
To get that out, because we've got a number of people in this town that are like me. There's some that love it, and in my age bracket that love it. I just assume not have anything to do with it. But what would attract, you know, my attention, whereas their attention, you know, it's got to be multi-pronged, as we said.
Does. Very, very multi-pronged.
And how you sift through the mountains of data.
Right, and it's getting... You know, literally, you need somebody that's skilled in understanding all the dynamics of advertising, for lack of a better term, in promotion of this. To do you do it by email? Do you do it by paper content in the water bill? Do you do it by Facebook or Nextdoor or something that's placed in the grocery store that they're going to? Or, you know, is it something you may want to put in what's delivered when they get their stuff via .com on groceries, so they can't go over to Safeway or Market of Choice or wherever that is they're looking. I don't have the answer. And
well, it's worth poking around. I have a couple suggestions. Yeah. I mean, social media, I mean, people spend a lot of time on that. Mm-hmm. I like what the, I don't know who, there's a sergeant or something that's always on there. And posts like little video blurbs and whatnot. And if we had our own Facebook page or somewhere to, maybe Jules can help us with that. Maybe she can help moderate it or facilitate it. You can set it up too where it's private, where people can't post things, but you're just putting the information out there, so you're not going to have a bunch of inappropriate comments and whatnot. Yeah. But I think it would be really cool if you just did a couple of, maybe like a bunch of short videos with how-tos. Like how to, like, so when I empty a gallon of milk, I sanitize the bottle, I fill it up with water, and I store it for 6 months. You don't have to go out and buy water. You don't have to buy fancy containers. So maybe if you had a little video, a little 2-minute, 3-minute visual things.
Okay.
Like a 10-part series.
Gee, what a great idea.
That's cool.
You know, and I'm a
how many other good ideas do you have like that?
Well, that was just one thought I had.
Uh-huh.
And then if you're trying to maybe reach a demographic that isn't so savvy with computers,
mm-hmm.
you know, maybe hosting something at the adult community center for folks where they can go and you can bring these things. And
I just said we've done that.
Okay.
And then the fair, too.
Okay.
It's a big one that we
do.
But realistically,
we have presentations and demos.
We need to be thinking about all of those, or at least have somebody we can talk to that is savvy about all of those possibilities, so that, you know, perhaps, you know, a little tidbit that we have, they can expand. I love that little video on water storage. That idea is great.
Once a week, just do like a little flash.
Uh huh. Well, has it been a year? Somewhere last year, Judy was telling about disaster waste management outhouse. The issue of storing liquid versus solid separate, so that the one becomes less pungent, dries out, and it isn't an issue of contamination where if it stays moist, it becomes one that spreads. You know, I would never have thought about that had you not brought that up.
All the things I learned.
Yeah. I mean, it's not the sort of thing that you want to bring up at the dinner table over,
one's sterile and one isn't.
Yeah.
Big difference.
So, but it's those sort of things that, you know, we kind of need to be thinking about. Maybe there is something already in existence that we can tap.
Yeah. That's why I'd like to talk to Irvine and some other places. I really admire this. And,
all right.
Well, and you're aware of the Prep LO people, right? Yeah, because they have so much good information. It's just been really, really refreshing to know that somebody's got this ground.
The other thing that we need to do is realize we'll look at these things and they're fabulous and fantastic, but we may not make it there this year. It's got to be little steps. You know, maybe, okay, we can't have, you know, all this stuff, the links, everything that they've got, but we can at least be looking at going to that point and recognize that we have limitations.
Yep, good.
With that, staff updates, anything from the police department that's changed since last month?
One change is that one of our sergeants will be resigning June 30th, and so we've posted his position, and it closes, the job announcement closes, I think, Monday the 29th.
Which position?
Sergeant.
Are you seeking internal promotion, or are you seeking?
It's internal and external.
Okay.
I haven't opened it up. As soon as you're fully staffed, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're holding one spot open for the budget, but on field for the budget crisis. But as soon as you get up to where you think you're full staff, boom, somebody goes.
Mm-hmm.
So we are kind of in a perpetual interview mode and hiring and stuff. So. That will happen soon, hopefully. That closes the 29th. We'll do interviews within a week of those. And if it's an internal candidate, then there's no background to be done.
Right.
We won't be promoting anybody or hiring a sergeant from outside until July 1, because we have to have the
budget
vacant right before we hire somebody. So we anticipate hiring that sergeant on July 1.
Okay.
Our CSO, we talked about last time, our community service officer, we pared it down to two people, and they're both in the background now. So once they, if they both pass, then we'll have a decision to make. If only one passes, it's easy to do. We want to hire them ASAP because our current community service officer wants to leave a month sooner now.
Oh.
So instead of August 1, she wants to go July 1. So we're trying to, we got to get some overlap. There's so much knowledge and history that goes along with that job, knowing the codes, that to throw somebody into that line would be a mess. So that's what the police department is.
Okay.
I had one question.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's just me that have noticed, or if you have a new kind of a pickup. It's a crew cab.
We do have a truck.
Truck,
it
yeah.
Is a, yeah, it replaced, I don't know if you remember, we had like that big excursion expedition. It was a big SUV. That one finally, you know, gave up the ghost on that. And the replacement is this truck. It's a pursuit rated truck by Ford. The sergeants seem to love it. It's got a moving radar in it, so if you're going the opposite way of it, it can tell you how fast you're going, so heads up on that.
I guess the question to me was, so what do you put in the back?
So you the know, back is
you can't secure
right?
it before when you have the SUV.
If you have to go pick up a bike or something, they just don't fit in the
enclosure.
Or the FIUs that we have, they just don't fit. And so we end up kind of strapping them on, leaving the doors open or something weird. So now we can call a sergeant to roll down there with the truck, throw it in there. It also has a trailer hitch, and so we can tow our range trailer out to the range if we needed to. So it's just more
versatile,
more functionality, and more versatile for us as a police department.
As opposed to an SUV.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because I can see where odd shapes being transported. I mean, you've got to confine it to whatever the shape of the SUV is. Here, you know, they can
something. I see that now.
Yeah.
Just, you know,
but you're right.
What do you care?
Why the hell would you do that?
Pursuit rated?
It is pursuit rated.
You guys can chase them though?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So I would think retired cop myself. But they wouldn't let us in SUVs. You had to be in a car. Or if it wasn't.
Well, all the SUVs now are all pursuit rated, right? Like Ford makes the Explorer pursuit rated. That's otherwise they never sell. And then that truck, that big F-150 truck, is actually pursuit rated. It's lower chassis, and it's got all the brakes, and it's all-wheel drive.
They had to do something that didn't make the Crown Vic anymore.
Yeah, I mean, when I lived in Alaska, there were lots of troopers with trucks.
Yeah.
But I knew what they threw in there. I thought,
caribou?
Yeah.
The first sergeant to throw like a dead deer in that thing is probably going to be the last sergeant that does that.
Yeah.
The president doesn't want that. Kevin, did you have a question?
I do. Are police officers licensed? By city values or by state?
No, by state. We're all certified by the state of Oregon. And so our current job posting is for within the state of Oregon, actually.
And so I see in the Lake Oswego Review that new officers have been hired, and then I see them in other communities.
What do you mean you see them?
For example, I've seen Lake Oswego police officers in Westland car vehicles. I've seen Lake Oswego police officers in Gresham. So
I can't think of a reason they would be doing that now.
Transit.
Maybe there is a, I don't think Hello's got anybody in transit.
I know.
They do have somebody in transit.
But there are.
So what you're talking about, I believe, is the transit police, the TriMet police. And they're made up of, they're one police agency. That's made up from representatives from about 18 different agencies. Westland has a spot on TriMet, but we haven't filled it. And just so it's a multi-jurisdictional, multi-agency team. And so in those cars, they look just like Portland police cars with the white doors and the blue top, and it'll say Transit Police on it. And they all wear a dark uniform very similar to this, just that they have their agency's patches on the sleeve and they wear their agency badge. But they all work for transit. And so Gresham and Hillsboro, Washington County, Clackamas County.
The only other thing is that they're doing some combined training. They might be doing something where both agencies have agreed to do training somewhere and somebody's hitching a ride.
Now we have several people, we do a lot of co-training with Lake Oswego. They've been very, very nice in letting us tag along with some of their trainings. So some of the training is held in Lake Oswego, some of it's held in the John Satter room where we normally meet. And so a lot of times you'll see us driving there for training or they come to us for training. Maybe you're seeing those cars there, I'm not sure.
And then the most agents.
In the case of a big event where you just don't have enough
office.
Yeah, so we call each other. We are actually on the same dispatch channel as Lake Oswego.
Yes.
We are dispatched out of LOCOM, Lake Oswego Communications. And so on that same channel is Lake Oswego and us, and they also dispatch to Milwaukee but on a different channel. And so
and there's mutual aid agreements between the various agencies so that if they have an event where they need extra manpower, the other agency will come in to assist them, either in an emergency or if it's a planned event where they'll come in and assist with the management of the event, and then the payback comes later on when the other agency has to help them on. So the Hillsborough Air Show uses agencies throughout the area to provide all the traffic and staffing. So you might go out there and see a Tiger cop, a Hillsborough cop, a Washington County deputy, all interacting and working at the same event.
Thanks for clarifying that.
And everybody shows up in Oregon City if you have to go to court, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Not him, because that's where the court happens.
The jails and Rockland counties, you see all of us in
there. Yeah.
Stefan, PBFNR.
Yeah. So, more of a report on a couple of real life incidents. Had a unfortunate house fire. In town here off White Cloud Drive. I had a couple people that sustained injuries, but everybody, nothing was life threatening as a result of that. Then also, you may have seen out in Villebois, had a sizable fire. It was a 3-alarm fire, damaged 20 homes, 16 cars, and many people displaced. Amazingly, that was in Villebois. It's the planning community within Wilsonville.
Could
you spell
V-I-L-L-E-B-O-I-S.
Used to be where Damish Hospital used to be.
Yeah.
Oh, that one.
Yeah.
Huge community.
The one near Wilsonville.
The Wilsonville fire. That's how I felt it. It's the Wilsonville.
That's how the news always reported it.
They do not. So at this point, what we do know, though, is you have a 4-story apartment complex that was being constructed. It was in its most vulnerable state with no walls, no fire breaks, basically just a lot of lumber, 4 stories in the air. Unfortunately, right now, there is an investigation going on to figure out what caused it. But the good news was there's no injuries.
That's good.
Absolutely, from firefighters or from the public. And a lot of that was early notification. We had firefighters in the community, as well as residents that were knocking on doors and getting everybody out. But it was a good reminder, I think, for some of what we're talking about in resiliency. We held a community meeting 2 days after, a joint one between fire department, police, city. The developer was there. The county brought some mental health services for some people who were pretty shook from, if you've seen any of the video, it was pretty traumatic. And we had 250 people attend that community meeting. And through that, it just was a good collaboration, everybody coming together as they were working through that situation.
Wow.
So those were just kind of two large incidents that took place nearby the Westland.
How fast were you able to get there? Or whoever responded?
So the community in Wilsonville is really close to 52. So they were able to get there at 1 a.m., getting into trance and everything in under 5 minutes.
Wow.
So we're happy with that. Yeah.
Impressive.
Oh, and in both cases, we have law enforcement that's helping respond as well, which is great for helping evacuations, traffic control, and a lot of these things that, help us focus on the immediate need of the fire.
And aren't you glad you weren't at Notre Dame?
Yeah.
Wow.
Now, if you've seen the after pictures, the fact that they were able to save that structure was quite incredible. Reading stories around, I don't know if you saw the fire chaplain. So usually we have chaplains that would respond and law enforcement as well to traumatic events to support individuals going through trauma. And in this case, they had a chaplain who actually ran in, worked with one of the cardinals, I don't know what their title was there, to unlock some of the ancient valuables they had within the structure and get them out safely.
I heard they had a chain, a human chain, of people passing artwork just as fast as they could out the building. They said 400 firefighters responded to that. I can't even imagine orchestrating that. And something that huge.
Well, similar to kind of the question that was asked, we have a structure of both mutual aid, right? So in the case of the fire in Wilsonville, we had three other responding agencies that they automatically go. It's not like we get on the phone and hash it out. They're gone. So Canby Fire was there, Aurora Fire was there, like Oswego had a truck there. So those resources are mustered immediately. And then secondly, we have a system called Incident Command System that has a certain span of control in which you have somebody calling the shots, but then somebody that focuses on medical, somebody that focuses on fire suppression, and then they divide actually that out into different branches and put people in charge of those branches. So that's kind of how you keep the chaos organized.
Wow.
You brought, triggered an idea.
Yeah.
Who within your agency or with the police department would be able to talk about the incident command structure? So that,
there's quite a few of us. But
yeah, I know, but I mean, you know,
let me think about it.
A 10, 15, 20 minute spiel of, you know, here's the, you know, this battalion chief gets assigned this, they have a responsibility, what are they going to be doing? It maybe they have, you know, a captain over here, like you just explained, when it shifts to a higher level of command. And just the logistics that they have to process through might be of interest.
Yeah, very much so.
I've got a couple ICS nerds that are.
certainly over at Clackamas County, I think her name is, she's the...
what department?
She's CSO. She's in the, you know, where the... up by the jail, not by the jail, but the Red Sawyers campus is up there.
Sure.
She's in the back. She's the disaster preparedness person, emergency management.
It's not Sarah.
No.
Okay.
She's like a...
No, but I think somebody in overseeing first response type management would be ideal along those lines.
Well, the ICS model covers everything, right? Mm-hmm. It covers... It depends how big your
and the method, the mechanics of it.
The fires, the Paradise fires, right, where you have your people that are running fire ops, and then
logistics
of getting water and food to everybody, and I need shovels, you know, you got to talk to that guy, medical response, and
The mechanism of it stays the same regardless of the incident. It's just where things fall, who's the ultimate responsible person, how it's delegated. And just understanding the mechanism of how you're building this sort of an onion out with layers as it goes out closer to the ones that are at the online dealing with the issue. And this could be in response to an active event, the same mechanism is used in place. If you've got an event where you have a lot of people, nothing's happened, but you need to stage accordingly in case something does.
Well, that's the air show. The things is, like, active shooter incident management class last week, and so they're showing pictures from across the country from active shooter response. And so I think about it. So Reynolds High School, right, 300 police officers show up at that. Where do police officers park? Wherever they want, right? And so literally the problem then becomes, how do I get an ambulance in and out? How do I get a fire truck in and out if there's a structure park? How do I get, you know, people pull up, they think they're, you know, they're going to save the day and lock the car up and run off front with their guns and stuff, but really, that's part of the response, right? And educating the department. And if we get a big active shooter at the high school or something, or something, Clackamas Town Center shooting, 300 cops show up to that one too, right? And it was over in 4 minutes. Mm-hmm. 300 cops continue to show up. So how do you respond to that, and how do you manage that? That's all part of that model. It's very interesting stuff.
And I'm thinking of, I got a couple of BCs that are wildland incident commanders, and that's where it gets used quite a bit in the wildland setting. So I'll also work with Kath, and we'll figure out a good person to bring in for that.
Cool.
Yeah, I think that would be very helpful.
Yeah.
Anything else? Our next meeting would normally be on the fourth Monday in May, which is Memorial Day. So I think we kind of mentioned this the last couple of meetings that we're looking at holding it on that third Monday. My question is if that poses any scheduling conflicts or problems for any of our board members, and we'll worry about the supporting staff people secondary to the rest.
Not a problem.
Oh, see, you ran off.
Peter,
does
that work?
Yeah, I was looking at 20th is fine for me.
And whether or not we have something on Eliza or Elsa, however you pronounce.
Does she have a sister named Shauna Schroyer? Is Eliza, I think, Schroyer, is what you just said?
Yeah, S-C-H-R-O-Y-E-R.
She can spell it, you can't pronounce it.
I was just told Eliza.
But yeah, I think...
I'm going to find out, because I need to go to City Hall anyway.
Yeah, see what the story is on that, and we'll figure out where we're going to place everything else.
This is completely... Okay. This is out of context, going back to emergency preparedness. I have called into the mapping engineer at City Hall, the Megan that I used before, to see if we can do a map that we can update from our neighborhood that is read-only and that we can alter. And I left that message a week ago and haven't heard back.
So she's buried right now because they just went to a new, was it Map Optics that we used to have?
Yeah, yeah.
So I think they replaced Map Optics with Westman Maps or something.
Well,
she's
coming
to give us a presentation on that.
Okay.
She's having to do that for the whole city.
Do you know when she might be a little more slowed down? Like weeks, months?
I don't know.
2022.
Yeah. Call her
2022.
No, just give her another email. I was just going to email her so I know she's around.
Okay, good to know.
She's been slammed with trying to get people the new stuff.
Now, do you have access to the calendar for that room?
I don't.
Because that's the only other thing about the 20th, if anything else is scheduled there.
Oh,
well,
there's nobody there to call right now.
The only thing I can say is that Tony did post this, whether she looked at it or not, I don't know. I'll fire off an email when I get home and make sure there's no conflict with that. If there potentially is, my first fallback would be the first Monday in June. So we stay on that Monday cycle. Options we've got, we forego a May meeting.
Well, if we can't get that room,
right.
What about here?
Well, that's certainly a possibility.
We can
look for an alternate room if we need to.
Yeah, I'd rather do that than push it off into June.
I don't blame you at all. Yes.
We need to get Amy's contact information after the recorder's off.
Okay.
To add her to our distribution list.
Okay.
At least I do. I don't know it.
You know, I would really like to get sort of a master list of who we have, contact emails, because about half the ones that I send through the public safety email that's supposed to go to everybody get bounced back, which has been a problem I've had for years, and they kind of know what the problem is, but they can't fix it. So putting together like a group email to everybody would save that problem for me. But it would also be nice if we also could incorporate the term that person's serving so that, you know, we know, hey, they're coming up, you need to submit a letter to renew or recertify. And I guess I can ask Tony about that, about a roster for that, but go ahead and let's get all that information for our own use after we turn off the tape.
Okay.
With that, I've run out of lines in my agenda. Is there any last minute question, or can I entertain a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
As if we need that. Okay, we are done. Stefan, is it possible to get a very abbreviated tour of your new station?
Yeah, if anybody wants to, I'd be happy to take a tour.
I've had the open house.
Huh?
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
You had one?
I went to the open house, so I've been there. But
I don't know if anybody is interested or not. I mean,
is the tape off?
Where's the off button?